Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Jeremy, you've lost it. You have gone so far that you are one with the wide receiver train. He is Jim Carrey, and the wide receiver train is Andy Kaufman. And he has gone full immersed, can't get himself, can't break his bit. He has gone off the deep end for a bit. You, sir, are an addict of the wide receiver train.
That is our draft host for tonight, Nate Geary. Talking to me like I'm in the room with him. I'm not there. Here I am. Say it to my face, Geary. Hey, what's up, Nate?
What's up, fellas?
Happy draft day.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my God.
I know. I was joking with some people last week that they shouldn't actually have a set date for the draft. They should just wait until the powers that be in the NFL see a take about the draft. They say, you know what, that's enough. We're going to have the draft right now. Because someone just mocked, I don't even know what, like Drake May to go 17th. Like, all right, that, you know what, we've had enough. We're going to have the draft right now. Call everybody. Put the white smoke out. We've got it. The draft. We've made it.
I actually think we should do a slow roll draft. Each team gets 24 hours. You know, we spread this out over 4 months.
Listen.
In.
We have talked about that before. A week-long first round is a tremendous idea. A week-long event. Right now, it's the 14th pick. Adunze is still on the board, and we're like, what? You got to do? And then, boom, he goes off. The next day, we've got a brand-new board, basically. Everything's different.
Although, but how it works in fantasy, which could be cool, is if it was 24-hour clocks, and you just had, like, right now, the Cardinals are on the clock, and they've got 18 hours. You just have no idea when the news is going to come in of who they pick they trade or not.
That's
like, today is Cardinals
overnight.
Day.
Right. Overnight, it comes. It comes in at 3 a.m. But think about, we would have a full day of coverage to talk about one pick.
Right.
It'd be great.
Today would be Cardinals Day. Are
That's what we need.
Harrison?
We need.
Are they going
to? And you could have, you could release a mock draft every single day. Based on all
the updated mock.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So, Nate, tonight, what's the schedule? Let us know. You know, people are going to be tuning in tonight, listening. You've done this before.
Several times, yeah. Usually it's with Joe. Joe will be with you. So, Zach Jones and Derek Kramer will be alongside with me tonight. We'll kick coverage off right after the afternoon show, right after Mike and Chris at 7 o'clock. We will roll along till question mark. I will tell you that if the Bills make some moves, move up, probably about midnight. If they stand pat or move back, I don't know. I'm hoping, you know, no later than 1 a.m. because I've got a golf round to play tomorrow. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. One thing I'm thinking about coming into this is a little bit of the wild card element. And by that, I mean, when they took Kincaid last year, there were some that thought they might go for a tight end and go to a more of a two tight end look. But it caught me by surprise. I didn't think it was something they needed to do, but it indicated a direction they were going to take. And right now, with the departures of Diggs and Davis, they are very much at a spot where trying to figure out the offensive direction is as much a part of this conversation about which receiver they should take as anything. Because if you trade up for Adunze, okay, I understand what kind of receiver he is, versus Xavier Worthy, versus Ladd McConkey, versus Keon Coleman. These are very different types of players that do play the same position that will tell us what they are maybe thinking about how they're going to build this next stage of their offense.
Well, the funny part is, you know, we had a full season sample size that we, you know, talked about, predicted. Then we got to the draft, see them draft Dalton Kincaid, and then we were like, we knew what they wanted to do, who they wanted to be, and then they fired their offensive coordinator 11 weeks into the season or whatever it was. I think we have such a small sample size of Joe Brady in two wildly different offenses, I think, right? And I think because of the playmakers, or in this case, lack thereof. I don't know exactly that who they pick will be a real indicator of who this offense, what this offense, what this organization wants the offense to look like. Because I think that what we saw at the end of last year, them getting back on their track to success, running the ball more, Josh Allen running the football more, I think that was preservation mode. I think that was, we need to scrap what the other guy was doing. It wasn't working. Let's go with something that we think we can do and be successful with to just get us to the playoffs. I don't sense that that is just immediately going to be the copy paste plan going into the 2024 season. I think that part of that will be the plan. But I think, and I put this in my mock draft, that I don't expect the Bills to look at the wide receiver position in a conventional manner anymore, because I think that they have shown that they evolve the way that they believe their receivers should win, right? I mean, Andre Holmes and Kelvin Benjamin was when, you know, Josh Allen came into the league. Then it transitioned very quickly to Cole Beasley, John Brown, and Stephon Diggs. And then it kind of transitioned into the Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis. And now it's a total blank slate. So I don't know that we can necessarily – I think we are – maybe jumping the gun, thinking this is going to be a team that wants to run the football. I know that they're going to want to get the ball out quickly and let guys get the hashtag rack. But I also think that there's going to be new, you know, dynamics, new levels to this offense that we didn't see last year and that maybe we haven't seen historically in a Joe Brady offense. I like the idea of looking more at what he did at LSU in the passing game than I do at looking what he did in Carolina, per se.
Nate Geary joining us on the Wester Hotline. Let's get a call in, James in Derby, because James wants to bring up the very player that Nate has and Sal has mocked to the Bills. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Xavier Worthy is my favorite player in the draft by far. But my only concern is, and so last year we got Hardy, and I was super excited for him, and it seemed like he was lightning quick. Every time we got him the ball, he was catching everything that we were throwing at him, but they barely used him. And I don't know if I have the faith in the Bills to be able to use a receiver like that with that much speed, a small body, because they were unable to do it with Hardy, and now he's gone.
Yeah. Thanks, James. It's a good point to bring up, because whether it's Hardy or it's Isaiah McKenzie was supposed to have this role, and when his role was supposed to be blossoming a bit, that didn't really pan out. Pass-catching running back, right? We knew they wanted Nyheim Hines for this, J.D. McKissick for this. Curtis Samuel is said to be someone of the... So, Nate, it's kind of an idea that they have carried around for a while, but it doesn't seem like there's ever been anybody to execute it for them yet.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's a completely fair concern to have about a guy like Worthy. I don't think, and you know, listen, I think you see people say, oh, the league's already seen John Ross. How come people haven't learned? I think it's such a, or I saw a tweet from somebody yesterday where it was like, oh, you know, we've seen Roscoe Parrish. We've seen Marquise Goodwin not succeed. I just think trying to go into the path to find examples of speedy wide receivers that are small, not working out, I think ignores a sample size of the league evolving in the type of body frames that are required to succeed in the league, especially now that teams are playing more zone coverage than ever before. There are no big, corners that are playing press man. There's not teams playing tons of man coverage across the board. It's too deep shell. And with that, you need to find ways to break the shell. And I think to me, that's why a guy like Xavier Worthy makes so much sense for me, because he is a guy that you are, if you're a corner in the league right now, you are going to be walking into a game plan knowing that his out routes, his, you know, comeback routes, his curl routes, they all look like he's going vertical. And that is a huge advantage. That's one of the Tyreek Hill's biggest advantages. That's the separation creation that you see with Tyreek Hill, is everyone's scared to get beat deep. That means there's an extra step back that creates that separation. And if he can make all of those routes look like they're going vertical, that creates a huge advantage for any offense. And what that could create for Dalton Kincaid, I think, is really what I'm most interested in, is the thing that preparing for a guy like Xavier Worthy can do for the rest of the offense. Has, I think, meaning. I know Sale talked about his punt return ability and maybe that being the sort of way you get him involved early. Even if he's a decoy to me and can open things up for the Shakirs and the Samuels and the Kincaids and Knoxes of the world, that has real value to me. So the Hardy discussion is one where I think we all maybe had these expectations that he was going to be a player that, you know, they were going to utilize better than Isaiah McKenzie. I think sometimes it's just the player's not as good as we all think he is. And there's a reason that when he was released, he was C-tier free agent. He's gone to Baltimore. And is anyone expecting him to be a top three, top maybe a fourth receiver in Baltimore and is going to go? I just think you have to sort of isolate some of these players and what has happened in the past and what will happen in the future to maybe that player is just not as good as we thought he was.
Are you starting to buy the smoke that Worthy might go higher than people have expected up to this point?
Yeah, I do. I have the Bills trading up a couple of spots, I think five spots to six spots to get in front of the Dallas Cowboys for him. I think that it really all depends on how many of these quarterbacks go and how many of the offensive tackles go, and frankly, how many defenders go, how many of these corners, because this is a draft. I know Daniel Jeremiah tweeted out yesterday. He got off the phone and said that there might be five teams looking to trade up for offensive tackles. Do it. That means that good talent should travel and move back down the board. And, I know Chris Sims, I don't know how plugged in Chris Sims tweeting out that, there is some conjecture about where Roma Dunze fits on people's boards and if he could fall outside the top 10. I think those two for me are your guys. And if you can't find a way to trade up or stand pat and get Worthy, trade up a couple to get Worthy or, make the big swing for a Dunze, then moving back, and going to get one of those third tier receivers, what's the difference between a Ladd McConkey, a Pearsall, and, a Leggett? I don't know what the big difference there is. And if I could get a third and still get one of those guys, and I miss out on one of the I would say the two guys that I think they would really be looking at, I've been looking at, then start filling holes elsewhere and get yourself a third-round pick.
Nate Geary, he'll be on coverage tonight of the draft. Nate, talk to us about defensive prospects you have an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think a lot of people look at potential for corner. I was actually talking to my dad this morning. He said, what about corner? I don't think a true outside corner makes a ton of sense for them. It's just not a guy that's going to walk in and play right away. And if you're going to draft somebody in the first round that's not going to walk in and play right away, I don't know what conversation we're having. So I think if you're looking at defensive back, I really like Cooper DeJean a lot. I think he's a guy that will be there or be around that pick. To me, he can walk off the bus, be a starting safety, and be a real tool for this defense. And we saw what Kyle Hamilton – now, I'm not necessarily comparing the two, but we saw what Kyle Hamilton did to the flexibility and frankly, the difficulty that teams have had now with the Ravens in their defensive backfield. They're deep. They're across the board. They're deep. And I think Cooper DeJean would really create a nice funnel for what the safety position could look like if you got him and Mike Edwards back there and you don't have to rely on some of the depth pieces that you have. I'd really like that move a lot. And late to the kid from UCLA too. I don't know. The medicals on him scare the crap out of me. And I also feel like if the neck thing didn't happen, maybe we're talking about him as a top five pick. So if he's around 23, 24, 25, and the Bills, you hear trade up, it wouldn't necessarily shock me that he's the guy the Bills go and get, because I do think he's that rare top five talent that's got some medical question marks that could drop back in the draft. So Johnny Newton's also a name that I don't think makes it to the Bills. I think he's going to get scooped up at 21 by the Dolphins. But that's another guy that I think is game-breaking potential on the interior, the defensive tackle from Illinois. So those are some of the guys that I've really been looking at in the first round. But I've listen, you know, as much as I am trying to be level-headed, balanced about there's not one way to skin the cat here in the first round, I am of the mind that if you miss out on wide receiver, it will be like the third straight draft that the board doesn't fall your way and you miss out on a wide receiver. And that's sort of why they're in the position they're in right now is the Zay Flowers draft didn't work out. And, you know, how that receiver group fell didn't work out for them. The year before, it didn't quite work out for the Bills. They just were out of striking distance. And I think if Brandon Bean is in love with one or two guys, that I think he should, as long as he believes he's getting fair value, move heaven and earth to do it, or be willing to trade back and get a couple of these tier three guys that you could sort of spread across your offense. But then to me, guys, then you're still looking for that true number one. I don't buy at all that Brandon Bean doesn't believe this offense needs a true number one. I don't buy that for a second. I think they need to come away tonight with a number one receiver. And if they don't, I think that that's going to be something they search for another calendar year.
Final question, Nate, before we let you go. And Joe, you can answer this too. And Josh too. Who's the one player you don't want to go to whichever team you don't want him to go to? Like a Chiefs fear, a Bengals fear, a Dolphins fear, whatever.
New England, maybe.
Maybe New England. Drake May, New England. Who's the player you do not want to see in Destination X?
Worthy in Miami. I don't want a stopgap to Tyreek Hill. I want Tyreek Hill whenever he walks away, which is hopefully soon, that they're searching for that number two receiver, and they don't have a freaking track team of 4-2 and unders with, you know, Waddle and Worthy and Achan and Tyreek Hill and, you know, Jonnu Smith now. They've got dynamic players at tight end. I'm done with that team having that sort of dynamic skill set. I do not want Xavier Worthy in Miami after the 21st pick. That's like, I think, a for certain for me.
I might pick what Nate had in his mock draft, which was Malik Nabers to the Jets. At 10, I'll go Nabers / Odunze. I don't want the Jets getting a start, one of those top three receivers. I'd like for them to all be gone by the time they get there. Rodgers throwing to those two receivers would annoy me all season long.
All right. What's mine?
It could be New England, right?
It could be.
You want them to not pick quarterback,
no,
don't you?
What I don't want is the Chiefs to add an unstoppable offensive weapon. You're talking about when Tyreek Hill hangs them up. I mean, the Chiefs are about to go through eventually life after Kelsey, and maybe they don't run things through the tight end anymore. Maybe I don't know, they're going to trade up for Brock Bowers. I'm thinking about tight end, but if that's Troy Franklin or if that's Leggett or Mitchell or Nabers whatever,
yeah.
Like I would be, I'll of course be focused on who the Chiefs are getting, because what the Chiefs have done without an elite receiver is not to me a case that they don't want one. I think they definitely do. And I fear what they might look like if they find one to replace their Kelsey-centered offense. So
I want to say that maybe they should just draft a receiver in the first round, because they've been pretty miserable at drafting receivers.
Yeah, it's not gone well for them. Sky Moore's not done well. Rashee Rice, outside of this, you know, legal incident, was pretty good in year one for him. And he looks like a legit guy, so we'll see. All right, Nate, we'll be checking in from our draft party. We'll talk later.
Sounds good, fellas.
Nate Geary on the Western Hotline. He's got you covered along with Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, the whole team here from Studio Control. They will not have this wide receiver big board to look at because we are taking it with us.
Correct. Are we bringing it back in for day two, though, with the names left?
Yes.
We'll be back in here tomorrow morning.
If they, A, have a second-round pick.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter if they've taken a receiver or not. Yeah. We'll bring it back in here.
Oh, if they've taken a receiver, I'm still thinking receiver tomorrow morning.
Did we do stat of the day yet?
We did not.
I've got stat of the day.
Okay, stat of the day is brought to you by Seneca Gaming in Irving, home of the biggest bingo payouts and slot machines with thousands won daily.
How many first-rounders do the Giants claim they have? How many first-round grades? How many first-round grades do the Giants have?
They are, 24.
37. Lower.
Oh. Lower than who?
Lower than 24.
Lower than 24? 19.
Lower.
Three.
I'd love a team to do that.
We've got one first round grade, guys. That would be great. One, like a GM in the middle of the first round, all draft season going, we have one first round grade, and then going to the podium that night and saying, guys, we got him. This was our only guy. 16. 16 first round grades.
Lower.
Come on. What is this? Joe Shane?
Yeah. They have how many first round grades?
15.
Lower.
13.
Lower.
11.
11.
Get out of here.
No one should take this seriously when GMs say that.
Well, wait a minute. So that would mean, by his logic, he is ruling out that he would trade down to 12 or later.
Unless you only have, you know, quarterbacks. Right. You can't get.
Well, how, even if whatever he did, he'd go up there and try to defend it. But how would you defend trading down to like 15 a week after saying that I only got 11 first round grades?
You'd say that you knew that the other teams were going to take quarterbacks that you didn't have graded there. The other part of this, so I was tweeting back and forth with Kevin Cole, Unexpected Points. This is great work. He said he once heard a personnel person say to him that what the number of first-round grades really represents is players that would have been a first-round pick in any of the last five drafts. Hmm. So, okay. So if you could have the last five drafts put together, where are the first-round picks? Okay. Nobody can make me buy the stuff that these GMs try to pitch, because here's what I would say to that. You're trying to tell me, okay, there are 11 players from this year that would make a five-round first year. Did anyone from last year get bumped out? You want to tell me who got bumped out of last year's crop?
All right.
Because the last guy to get in last year would have to be pushed out by the new class.
Right.
11 first-rounders. Get serious. I guess we know that the Bills trading with the Giants to 6 can't happen. Yeah, they're not going to 28.
They're definitely not going to 28. Unless they're getting... they want a first next year? All the noise on the Giants now is quarterback. McCarthy said it yesterday. That's now the betting favorite for them after it was receiver, which is good.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good news for the top three.
Roma Dunze rumor coming up.
A good one?
There's some good and there's some bad.
Okay.
Get to that next, among other things.
I hear the train a coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine. I don't know when.
Brian Thomas Jr. Savior again.
Romo Dunze.
A.D. Mitchell.
But that train keeps rolling.
Light at the end of that tunnel's a train coming for you, brother.
It's a reference you're not going to know. Maybe nobody will. Have you ever heard of the tiny island of Mipos?
Mipos.
Mipos.
It sounds Greek.
Yeah, kind of. It's a fictional place.
Oh,
so here's my new, whatever, it's a tweet for people that watch Perfect Strangers and also are on the wide receiver train. You've never seen Perfect Strangers. You're much too young for that. Mike tweeted a picture of me as Balki Bartakamus from Perfect Strangers riding a wagon that says wide receiver or bust. And I have captioned that with from Mipos to Rome.
Okay. I don't get this reference.
It's a very, very specific,
yeah,
deep cut. And for the seven people that get it,
uh-huh,
let's go.
It's worth it for those seven people.
Listen, Perfect Strangers was a good show.
When did Perfect Strangers air?
Oh, 1980. Hold on. Perfect Strangers is 1989, 1988. How old am I when I'm watching Perfect Strangers? 10, 11, 12. 1990 to 1994. It gave birth to Family Matters.
Yeah.
Family Matters is a spinoff.
86 to 93.
Okay.
And right under that does say related Family Matters.
Yes. Harriet worked in the mailroom.
At
Perfect Strangers.
Okay.
And that spun into the Winslows, Carl Winslow, Harriet's Urkel, yeah. The Winslows. I'm pretty sure that's how it spun off.
Family Matters was the show I would always ignore in between Full House and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on Nick at Night.
Yeah.
Just never into it. Family Matters. I don't even think I've ever been exposed to Perfect Strangers.
No, probably not.
In any capacity.
Well,
syndicated somewhere, probably? Not really?
I'm like TV Land, maybe. On one of those stations.
Oh, I was never touching TV Land.
Well, I'm just saying. Like, it's an old show.
Right.
Balky Bartokomous and Larry Appleton. All right. Who is a better wide receiver prospect?
Between those two?
Which sitcom character would make the best wide receiver?
The best wide receiver sitcom character would be Moe's from The Office because he runs super fast. What's better than that, though? It's not like a main character. Not many athletic sitcom characters, though, are there?
No, that's probably right.
There's not many. Like, would Kramer make a good wide receiver? He's tall, right?
What's Ted Danson in Cheers? That's Sam? Wasn't he a pitcher?
Okay.
Major league pitcher?
Do you got so Ted Danson is going to be your answer here?
I guess so.
Ted Danson?
Sam Malone. He was a pitcher.
Yeah.
Now that I'm remembering it. Hey, it's draft day.
Let's go. They're going to have a receiver by tomorrow. They better have a receiver by tomorrow. Maybe it's Brandon Ayuk. Maybe they don't draft one. Maybe it's Brandon Ayuk.
I do like hearing Ayuk won't cost a first because of the salary. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That he's going to be paid so much that if you're San Francisco, you go ahead and all right, let's move on. We'll draft one. We like who we get and
yep. Is that weird though? Because when does a receiver of that profile, contract or not, get traded for something that's not a first-round pick? Like, Diggs got traded for a first-round pick, right?
He did.
Davante Adams got traded for a first-round pick. Tyreek Hill got traded for a first-round pick. Those guys, I mean, Ayuk, though, what's the difference there? Is the difference that Ayuk, there is some projection that he hasn't had the monster numbers yet because he just hasn't been exposed to it, while, like, Adams and Hill were already, like, getting 1,700 yards in seasons?
Put it this way. You pointed out that from 2017 to 2020, there were seven first-round receivers.
Yeah.
In the 3 years since, there have been 17.
2017 to 2019, those three drafts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from 7 to 17, if this were a year where there were two first-round receivers, maybe you get a first for Ayuk.
Right.
And instead, because it's so flush, why would I give you a first? I can have one and pay him a total of $7 million.
Right.
As opposed to $32 million a year.
Right. That's right. Like, right. Because that happens during the first round. Although I will say, like, A.J., what was the year? What's the draft that A.J. Brown and Marquise Brown get traded in the same round? Is that 2022? Right? Yeah, that's going to be the 22 draft. I guess it could work both ways, right? Because that year, Brown got traded for a first. Did both Browns get traded for a first? Was Marquise Brown for a first-round pick?
He was.
Okay.
It was like the 26th pick.
Okay. So you had two receivers that went for first-round picks.
I think maybe it was 19.
In a draft where there were six first-rounders. London, Wilson, Olave, Williams, Dotson, Burks. All went in round one. And you had two receivers traded for first-round picks. So I guess it could still happen. The Bills could say, yeah, there's six first-round guys this year, but we got to go. We got to win. We can't play around with a rookie being at one of our most critical positions. If we got to do it, we will, but if we have the option, we have the preference, we would bring in a 25-year-old guy that can step in and do it right away. Like, there is merit to it, even though the money is going to cost you a lot.
Want a fantasy football question / trivia?
Sure. Want to make an instant trivia?
Yeah.
Instant trivia. The farmer's dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door.
Maybe you're in a dynasty league. Maybe you have the first overall pick. Maybe I have that in two different leagues. Okay. I have the first overall pick. How many NFL players right now, according to fantasypros.com, have a higher value, single quarterback league, a higher value than projected number one fantasy pick, Marvin Harrison Jr.? How many have a higher value in Dynasty,
yep,
and who are they?
How many are there?
I'm asking you.
Oh, you're asking me.
How many do you think there are?
There are...
We'll do this. Name as many as you can before getting one wrong and tap out when you think you're done.
Okay.
How many have a higher Dynasty value right now than Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Okay, Justin Jefferson.
One.
Ja'Marr Chase.
Two.
CeeDee Lamb.
Three.
Even that one, I squinted when I said it. What about... Do I want to be done? Would there be a running back? How young is Bijan?
No.
Wow. All right, I might be tapped out then.
There is one more.
There's one more?
There's one more. It might.
Is it a receiver?
It is, and it might come as a small surprise.
Is it going to be... Is it a surprise because the guy's older?
No.
Okay. Okay, interesting.
And he's great. I think you'd be surprised to find out his dynasty value is higher than Marvin Harrison Jr.
Is it like Garrett Wilson?
No.
Waddle?
No. No. Garrett Wilson is 8th, Waddle is 13th.
Okay. A.J. Brown?
9th.
Getting close here. Puka Nacua?
6th. Harrison is 5th.
Wow, Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua is 6th.
One other guy, and he's a receiver.
He has a higher dynasty value, according to Fantasy Pros, than Marvin Harrison Jr.
It would be a bit of a surprise.
It's only receivers. It's 4 receivers.
Okay. It's not Nico Collins, right?
Nope. Nico Collins is 16th.
Okay. It's not DJ Moore. It's not going to be any of the Washington guys. Who else is out there? Drake London?
Drake London is 12th. This player should be fresh in your mind.
Fresh in my mind.
That's one way to give this hint that doesn't totally give it away.
Ayuk?
No.
I just said his name.
Is 15th.
Yeah. I like that I'm at least sticking in the top 15 with all these guys. Yeah. Devontae Smith?
No. 14th. Odunze is 11th.
Oh.
Malik Nabers is 7th.
I know who it is. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown.
4th.
Yeah.
So just fantasy value right now, before he's on a team, Marvin Harrison Jr. in dynasty formats slots in behind Chase, Jefferson, Lamb, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And here's a point about draft position. The top receivers in fantasy and dynasty, their values and where they were taken.
Yeah.
First, fourth. First, sixth. First, second. First. First, third.
It's a lot of firsts.
Now, three of those were including Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, and Drake London. Rashee Rice, second. He's 17. And then Tyreek Hill.
Where are Nabers and Odunze? Are they close behind?
So, wide receiver rankings, this will kind of give you a look at the tiers, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, landing spot will matter.
Because Harrison's 5th.
Harrison, 5. Nabers, 7. Odunze, 11. And then the next receiver in this class is Worthy at 27.
And that's just for receivers?
Just receivers.
Okay. It's a gap.
That's a big gap from 11 to 27. But landing spots will make a difference.
For sure. If the Bills drafted Xavier Worthy, he'd be a lot closer to the top.
I think that's probably right. Extendo Sports coming up. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Extendo Sports time. This is the theme to Perfect Strangers.
It sounds like an 80s TV theme.
Oh, yeah. I could still sing this.
Go ahead.
It's me singing to receiver. Get a feeling like you need some kind of change.
This is the kind of performance you could hear at the draft party tonight, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be a mic.
There will be a mic, and it's not on air. So
right. You could just sing the theme to the Perfect Strangers if you wanted to. This is a fine theme song.
Standing tall. This is me.
80s theme songs just had such a vibe to them.
Yes.
Just
we used to be a proper country. We'd turn on the television. We'd get a good song. We'd watch a good show. We'd throw the ball to wide receivers. You know?
If I hear the Full House theme song, it will be stuck in my head for 3 days after.
Harriet Winslow, I said she worked in the mailroom. They worked in the mailroom. She was the elevator operator. So she came in and out of the mailroom. That's how Family Matters got spun off. Hey, maybe they'll draft a receiver tonight.
Final mock draft I just saw. Davis Maddock just had his final mock, and he is the Bills taking Keon Coleman at 28. He is on our board.
Yeah. I have just seen the latest mock draft from Seth Walder. Quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4. We love it. Quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4. That pushes Arizona down. That means as soon as it goes quarterback 1, 2, 3, 4, one of those receivers has a likelihood, Adunze, of making it to about 10.
Yeah.
And then we just hold on for dear life that they take Brock Bowers instead.
Yes. Yes. I do not want, like Nate's mock, I do not want neighbors in the AFCs.
No.
Imagine the Patriots take Harrison Jr. and then the Jets take neighbors.
It'll be difficult because these will be players that I've fallen in love with in the last 6 months and I will have to hate them.
Because they'll be playing the Bills twice a year.
It's some whiplash, you know? Oh, all of a sudden I hate
Adunze.
I don't want to do that.
Just for how uncool it would be, I'm really hoping Harrison Jr. does not go to the Patriots.
On that point, how uncool it would be, I'm just desperately praying that Ayuk does not go to Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
The punter catches more balls than receivers in Pittsburgh. Ayuk in Pittsburgh, what a waste.
That would not be great.
I've got Ayuk in fantasy, too. A couple different spots.
Arizona. Arizona should get one of these guys.
For sure. They should.
I know they're in the conference, but I do want the Chargers to get one of them, too. Like, L.A., cool jerseys, Herbert at quarterback.
Let me tell you.
Like, Harrison Jr. would be sweet
there. If we were in L.A. doing the show, it would be the receiver train. It would be, if you could never in any world, we're all cut from different cloths, the idea of taking an offensive lineman at 5.
When Harrison Jr. could be on the board.
Just never in my life would I do that.
Yeah.
And I'm wrong about it. I know. All right. That's it for us. We're back tomorrow. I think you're all going to tune in one way or another. It's either going to be, we're talking about that receiver, or, oh my God, I got to listen to these guys lose their minds. Excited to find out. See you at the draft party.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.